They're singing and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes and suddenly everything seems darker, less lively, and you lose your motivation to get out of bed.
If you struggle with depression, you're not alone. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, and no matter the time of year, it may affect your behavioral or physical ability to live a happy life.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you're going through. And we're here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental wellness.
If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
World's population to fall for the first time since the Black Death. That's from Yahoo.com. The report says the world population is expected to fall for the first time since the Black Death because of plummeting birth rates. That's from a Lancet study. They say 155 of 204 countries will have birth rates lower than required to sustain the population size. They then say by 2100, it will be 198 countries, or 97% of the world population. Think that's the whole story? Think again. Not even remotely close. Mortality is accelerating across the entire spectrum. Imagine that. And it's just beginning. Are official sources actually telling us the truth about the underlying causes of the rapidly increasing mortality rates, including the falling birth rates? Do some investigation and then decide for yourself. And about the 2100 date, mind-bending delusion. Based on current statistics and trajectories, it's questionable if anyone will make the end of this decade, let alone the end of the century. And that's not even taking nuclear war into account. And sorry if I seem so completely jaded. It's only because I am. 20 plus years of nonstop slogging in the attempt to wake those that are pretending to be asleep has that effect. How many have seen the images of a man on a Sri Lankan beach from the catastrophic 2004 earthquake, where he was just standing motionless, staring out at the incoming tidal wave, seemingly oblivious to his immediate fate? Does this image serve as a metaphor for the human race, for the inhabitants of the planetary Easter Island? The unfolding Earth changes and challenges that we collectively face are unimaginably non-linear. Will the final fatal flaw of the human race be its inability to grasp the non-linear equation? Can I give a visual example of a non-linear equation? Yes, I can. Here's two. The Hiroshima and Nagasaki nuclear detonations that so many Americans still feel very justified about. 100,000 innocent civilians dead in each case. Completely unnecessary. History makes that abundantly clear at this point, yet it's remembered as some sort of heroic act. How twisted can it all be? In this broadcast, climate engineering ramp up, complete contamination of the biosphere, photosynthesis is plummeting, crop production collapsing, fisheries collapsing, forests collapsing and incinerating, polar ice collapsing, functional collapse of the ozone layer, summary, collapse of everything everywhere all at once, happening in real time. If you're willing to face unspun reality head on, you're on the right broadcast. But wait, the ozone layer problem is all better though, right? For any that feel comforted by the Matrix media reports telling them pacifying lies that fly in the face of the UV intensity that anyone can feel on their own skin and on surfaces if they're not sound asleep at the wheel, don't be pacified by official denial. Pay attention to your God-given faculties. We are hurtling toward the bottom of the abyss at blinding speed. But sometimes a sliver of truth does slip through the cracks, even of Matrix Media sources. Here's a reminder of this ScienceAlert.com report from only months ago. Ozone hole may not be recovering after all. In fact, the report says it may be getting larger. It's about perception management. I'll get to that in a moment. And there's no could, may, might be getting larger. It's expanding all over the globe. And it waxes and wanes. It's not the same every day. But there are so many days now that are so close to what is statistically considered a hole in the ozone and even the mid-latitudes. We are perilously close to a planet that will not support life, where we cannot grow food. First, if it's all this bad, why do we have this? From the Wikipedia page on human extinction, listen to this. Humanity has a 95% probability of being extinct. That sounds bad, doesn't it? But then they say in 7.8 million years. That's a formulation of the controversial doomsday argument, which argues that we have probably already lived through half the duration of human history. Let's stop there. Everything in this Wikipedia definition of human extinction is total fantasy, designed to pacify populations till the moment of impact. Here's a reminder of some not-so-fun facts. Insect populations, aquatic and terrestrial, down 80 to 90% now, globally. Oceanic pelagic fish populations, the food fish, down 90% now. Wildlife populations, conservatively down over 70% in the last 40 years alone. Earth's tree cover, down 65% since pre-civilization baselines. Ozone layer, statistically 30% overall remaining. I could go on, but you get the point. Wikipedia stating we could be in trouble in about 8 million years from now is total absurdity. We're hurtling toward impact now. All the megacities all over the world, in fact, any cities for that matter, are the epitome of unsustainability. The whole of industrialized, militarized society, the same. All of this should be shockingly obvious, but there is that pesky factor of perception management that the Matrix manipulators are so masterful at. More on that subject in a moment, but first this question. As significant percentages of the population begin to wake up to what their governments have done to them for decades, from the skies and on the ground, will the controllers of the Matrix play the nuclear exchange card? Why would we think otherwise? And what happens then? How many still falsely believe that the powers that shouldn't be will, in the end, treat them any better than those that are currently being, quote, neutralized in conflict zones around the world? And for the record, populations, especially the armed kind, like many in the U.S., are not only expendable to those in power, they are, in fact, a rapidly increasing liability. Connect the dots on that one, and you won't like where it leads. Why do you think in the 2010 census they GPSed everyone's doorstep all over the country and didn't give a reason for it? I know because I called the Census Bureau when then their Matrix minions hiked almost a mile behind a locked gate to my door, not once, but twice. And then there's that unpleasant detail of U.S. agencies like Homeland Security purchasing 2.4 billion rounds of 40 caliber hollowpoint in 2012. What's that for? Again, if Plan A doesn't work, is that Plan B or Plan C? Thankfully, many are waking up to the factually inarguable oncoming train of cascading collapse, ecological and societal. But far too many are still completely asleep at the wheel. Why? How many have stopped to consider where their perceptions of the world came from? The term perception management and all that it implies is a core part of the problem. The phrase perception management has often functioned as a euphemism for an aspect of information warfare. The purpose is to get the other side to believe what one wishes them to believe, regardless of what the truth may actually be. The phrase perception management is filtering into common use as a synonym for persuasion. Public relations firms now offer perception management as one of their services. Question, is the correct term in such scenarios actually deception management? You decide. And although perception management operations are typically carried out within the international arena between governments and between governments and citizens, use of perception management techniques have become part of mainstream information management systems in many ways that do not concern military campaigns or government relations with citizenry. Here's a final statement regarding perception management. Quote, just because truth has been omitted does not mean that truth is not true. Just because reality has not been perceived does not mean that it is not real. Question, how many are actually seeing the state of the world or the state of so-called civilization and humanity through a clear lens? Here's a preview headline of what's coming to a neighborhood near you. From the HaitianTimes.com, this is new. Voices of despair, videos capture Haiti's capital in crisis. Residents speak out amidst brazen attacks and chaos, highlighting fear and anguish in Port-au-Prince. Yes, Matrix Media stopped covering this dire example of what is unfolding around the world. The total omission of issues and the verifiable facts related to them, again, part of that perception management just mentioned, helps keep the masses entertained with bread and circus, aka beer, pizza, endless sports, and political theater. Never stops. Separated by big pharma commercials for the latest concoction they've cooked up. And about Haiti's collapse, the Matrix Media's omission of the issue doesn't mean it magically went away. Over 3 dozen countries around the world are descending into chaos and collapse right now. The dominoes are falling fast, and it will continue to accelerate. Wait and see. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the weekly installment of the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Report, The End of the World as We Know It broadcast, brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of global climate engineering operations, a.k.a. weather warfare. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward. We cannot fight this battle without an army of the awakened, and that doesn't mean only being aware. It means understanding that you're in a fight for life, literally, and acting accordingly. We must reach this critical mass of awareness by starting a conversation on climate engineering that leads people to a credible source of data, geoengineeringwatch.org, and we will continue all of our efforts to be the go-to source on covert climate engineering operations. If we can expose weather warfare, so many other truths would be forced to the full light of day with it. Let's do a red pill deep dive to help clear the lens, and yes, it is this bad. The moment the magnitude of what's unfolding shatters the programmed denial of populations, the current paradigm will capsize. Wait and see. Also at that moment, we must ask, what cards will the controllers play? A quick footnote for the record. We aren't actually facing, quote, global warming. What's actually unfolding is far worse. Abrupt climate collapse is the correct terminology in this case. If you don't know exactly what that means, you will soon. It will be all around you. Wait and see. From the UK Daily Mail, the day of nuclear Armageddon, newly declassified documents reveal in macabre minute-by-minute detail what the end of the world would look like and why those vaporized instantly by an atomic bomb will be the lucky ones. From the report, one megaton thermonuclear weapon detonation begins with a flash of light and heat so tremendous it is impossible for the human mind to comprehend. 180 million degrees Fahrenheit, the report states, is 4 or 5 times hotter than the temperatures at the center of the sun. Within a few seconds, the fireball has increased to a diameter of a little more than a mile. Its heat is so intense that concrete explodes, metal melts or evaporates, stone shatters, and people instantaneously convert into combusting carbon. Not a single thing in the fireball remains. Nothing. Ground zero is zeroed. Traveling at the speed of light, the radiating heat from the fireball ignites everything, flammable several miles in every direction. How does all that sound? given the fact that in some circles of power, they are openly discussing what they see as, quote, a benefit of a limited nuclear exchange to cool our rapidly heating planet. Yes, more genius from those most responsible for delivering us all to this dark hour in the first place. Since solar radiation management operations, aka weather warfare, only made the overall heating worse, not better, let's just drop a few nukes. That'll do the trick. And yes, it will. If a limited nuclear exchange is allowed to occur, any nuclear exchange for that matter, it will be the end of the road. Ionizing radiation will strip away what's remaining of the ozone layer. Game over. Here's more fun facts. New from sciencealert.com. Injecting sulfur into the atmosphere could pose dangerous risks. Now, keep in mind with all that I'm about to cover from the sciencealert.com report, they're not even mentioning, because they're not allowed to, and they refuse to tell the truth, aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, graphene, and what else we can't know in totality. Let's add all that into this equation. Keep that in mind as I'm reading what they're already stating about only injecting sulfur. Again, this is from a sciencealert.com report. They state this: as nearly every climate indicator grows increasingly dire, calls for extreme technological fixes get louder. However, study after study finds that taking a gamble on forced geoengineering comes with its own dangerous risks. Again, obviously filling the sky with highly toxic particles, destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, and contaminating everything has downsides. They then say, new research warns that if we inject sulfur particulates into the atmosphere to attempt to reflect sunlight and mimic the cooling effects of volcanic eruptions, and they don't end up in the right position, and why would they, these particulates could cause further warming and even worse climate anomalies than burning greenhouse gases. The studies confirm with increasing injection amounts, the cooling efficiency would decrease. That's all from the Science Alert study. So doubling down on total insanity only makes things worse? What a surprise. There's more. The studies also show that this heating significantly affects the meridional temperature gradient in the stratosphere, thereby altering zonal winds, the ozone layer, and water vapor transport from the troposphere. The science team then explains, even causing larger anomalies than unabated greenhouse gas emissions. Think about that. Finally, from the so-called science community, although they are not admitting that these programs have been fully deployed for over 75 years, they are finally starting to tell the truth about how catastrophic solar radiation management is, aka weather warfare. The Science Alert report then continues with this. What's more, increasing aerosol concentrations in the stratosphere could push the movement of atmospheric chemicals, including the aerosols, into a biannual instead of annual cycle. In other words, they're going to be circulating faster and falling quicker. Let's sum that one up. The so-called cure of climate engineering is even worse than the disease it claims to treat. Sounds like all the big pharma concoction commercials that saturate Matrix media. And at the end of the Geoengineering Watch documentary, The Dimming, I stated exactly that. That this so-called cure is worse than what it claims to mitigate. Here's the last excerpt from the sciencealert.com report. Their findings add to a growing list of research highlighting the risks of forced geoengineering, which include losing more of the ozone layer, already stated that, changing global rain patterns, stated that, and further disruptions to the ecological system. Let's call it what it is, total collapse of the entire web of life. And I'm not denying all the other forms of anthropogenic damage to the planet. As I've stated way too many times to even begin to remember, we have trashed a planet in the geologic blink of an eye from countless directions. No one can rationally deny that. But with all that in mind, is it any wonder that global controllers will continue to do everything in their power, with Matrix Media leading the way, to hide and deny the shockingly obvious climate engineering operations in our skies? Again, perception management. You're not seeing what you're seeing in our skies. It's just a conspiracy theory. Go back to sleep. And as bad as all that sounds, it's even worse. No mention of the altered light wavelength form from the light scattering SRM aerosols. The altered light form has devastating impacts on photosynthesis. The aerosols also trap heat overall. And what happens then? The process of photosynthesis plummets as heat rises. Here's a recent science study title example from ResearchGate.com. Decline in photosynthesis rate under heat stress. And then there's that extreme UV radiation problem, frying crops in the field and forests and insects and plankton. You get the idea. No food, no people, simple. For those that don't know, photosynthesis declines with rising temperatures and stops completely at 104 degrees Fahrenheit. Of course, other factors can stop photosynthesis at even lower temperatures, factors like historically unnatural humidity levels for specific regions and extreme UV radiation, which again is bombarding the entire planet now. Been over in many broadcasts, a factor called VPD, vapor pressure deficit, and that's beginning to occur all over the globe, not just crops, but also forests. The desiccant particles that are being dispersed with climate engineering operations are altering atmospheric RH, the relative humidity, and as it lowers in many regions, and that's one of the destructive agendas the climate engineers are trying to carry out, reducing atmospheric water vapor, because water vapor is a greenhouse gas, but it also makes clouds, doesn't it? They overlook that part. So as you drop these humidity levels, these stomata on flora, again, from crops to trees, shut. That's the respiratory ports. They don't breathe. They don't absorb carbon. They don't release oxygen. They don't grow. They're basically dormant until they die. All of these things happening, all of them directly connected to climate engineering. Question, when climate engineering ends, and it will, one way or another, how profound might the planet's life response be, if there's anything left alive at that point? Answer, we can't know. No one can. Man's intentional interference with the planet's life support systems, on top of the endless list of anthropogenic factors also inflicting damage, has derailed so many complex planetary systems and boundaries and processes that it's not possible to accurately speculate what will come when the weather warfare stops. But this can be said with certainty, based on all available data, exposing and halting climate interference operations is the single greatest leap we can collectively make in the right direction at this late hour. The planet must be allowed to respond on its own to the mortal damage that has already been done. This is our only chance. This is the only way forward in this fight. And our lungs can't take much more either. All this material is raining down through the air column, and we're inhaling it with every breath we take. The all-important effort to reach a critical mass of awareness on the climate engineering issue is finally accelerating. And again, sharing credible data from a credible source has been key to this effort. Only a watertight ship can weather this storm. It's imperative to vet information before propagating it. To do otherwise is to harm this cause. As climate engineering awareness has grown, thanks again to the effort of many dedicated activists, increasingly there are some that seem to see this most dire cause as a path to profit, as a path to personal gain. Such individuals don't seem to be shy about asking for your money without any actual evidence of what they're doing with it or have done with it. For the record, geoengineeringwatch.org has never pandered for donations ever. Geoengineering Watch spent over six figures on the production of the Dimming documentary, now with over 10 million views, along with endless hours of volunteer work on the part of geoengineeringwatch.org. We posted this groundbreaking documentary for free the moment it was completed. We pass on all our printed awareness materials for less than our cost of producing and shipping. Personally, I've gone through the whole of my SEP IRA retirement account and sold off significant assets to keep the fight going without hesitation. What matters most is exposing and halting the insanity in our skies while there's still something left to salvage. Saving and planning for a future that will never be on the current course is meaningless. Unshakable solace comes with knowing you've done everything in your power to make a difference, especially for those that have no voice except for ours, and from your own home computer for free. You can share links, for example, like the Dimming, with elected officials, environmental agencies, farm groups. The list just goes on and on. Share that link. Ask them to investigate while it can still make a difference. If the planet's life support systems collapse, which is the trajectory we are on, game over. So if someone tries to convince you that it's all just jet exhaust in our skies, just a big unintended accident, nothing to see here, stop, think, reason, investigate, look up, look around. On-off dispersions, close-up footage revealing retrofit nozzles on wing pylons aimed into the exhaust jet stream, jets with tracking transponders turned off so that their points of origin and their destinations can't be determined, jets flying in every imaginable non-commercial trajectory, which does not correspond to any commercial flight paths, jets making loops, X patterns, grid patterns, or the next day with similar atmospheric conditions, perhaps no jets to be seen. And there is this. Does jet exhaust magically start producing patented chemical ice nucleation elements when they're crisscrossing their way over storm moisture flows, and chemically nucleating frozen material begins to fall, increasingly starting at far above freezing temperatures, with every other storm now producing baseball-size, extremely destructive hail? All just a big accidental mistake from jet exhaust? Really? With every so-called science institution on the ground and every criminal government frantically proposing that jet aircraft should spray light-scattering particles into our skies as part of so-called solar radiation management, exactly what anyone who takes the time to look up can easily see? No. It isn't just jet exhaust. It isn't just some unintended, unfortunate accident. So again, if you hear anyone rattling on about this most dire issue that seems to be making it up as they go and rattling their tin cup asking for your money at the same time, please investigate. Starting with the climate engineering issue itself, and then moving on to any individual that claims to be against it while simultaneously denying it and asking for your donations. Moving on, distraction is also deception. Mass, meaningless distraction is one of the primary tools of the Matrix and its manipulators. Here is a stellar example from this week. From Politico.com, a secret climate experiment in Alameda. From that report, the test marked the country's first outdoor experiment to limit global warming by increasing cloud cover to reflect more sunlight away from the Earth. The fact that very few people knew about it beforehand reflects how touchy geoengineering projects still are, despite the growing interest in them as a potential way to slow global warming. They're talking about the use of this aircraft carrier for an experiment that was virtually and totally meaningless. Nothing but smoke and mirrors, mass distraction. Don't look at the skies to see the military tanker dispersing a 100-ton payload over your head. Look at this mass distraction, meaningless event. Just like the Make Sunsets event in Baja California, which was totally meaningless. A publicity stunt, nothing more. Put that against the backdrop of what extrapolations indicate maybe 40 to 60 million tons being dispersed around the globe. Does a little balloon with maybe a pound or two of material have any meaning against that backdrop? Of course not. Smoke and mirrors. U.S. weather. First, from the AccuWeather Climate Engineering cover-up source, chilly winds to follow storms and flooding rain in eastern U.S. Let's stop to consider some basics in this equation. The weathermakers need large flows of moisture for chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding operations. All winter long, for the western U.S., they have either manipulated such flows in from the Pacific in largely unorganized patterns, or northward pushes of moisture, even from the record-warm Gulf of California. For central and eastern portions of the U.S., much of the moisture, even for theatrically named winter storms, has been from manipulated flows of moisture straight out of the record-warm Gulf of Mexico. Thus, the reason for now having so-called warm sides to so-called winter storms. What we are now told is normal. Our winter months often had chemically nucleated frozen material falling in southern Arizona and even northern Mexico. It continued even into spring, while it was raining in Canada at times, nearly to the Arctic Circle. Nothing to see here. Move along, and don't look up, or you might wonder about the grid-pattern filth-filled skies. Remember, global climate engineering operations are only a proposal. Therefore, you aren't actually seeing what you're seeing. Don't believe your lying eyes. That's what they want us to do. That's how they want us to behave. So back to the ever-worsening winds that are now accompanying so many manipulated and sprayed weather fronts. And again, those as weather fronts come in, most have noticed heavy spraying occurs in front of those storms or manipulated moisture. Due to the accelerating planetary meltdown being made worse overall by climate intervention operations, the extreme surface straight line winds are needed to maximize the endothermic properties of chemical ice nucleating elements and the atmospheric moisture that accompanies them. Think of it this way. For those that are familiar with evaporative coolers and how they function, you must have rapid air movement for them to work. That's the bottom line. Straight line surface winds are readily augmented by the climate engineers through the manipulation of atmospheric pressure zones. And on this footnote, when you're interfering with the temperature gradients in the atmosphere, chemical ice nucleation creating colliding air masses of various temperatures, cyclonic rotations can also be augmented. Back to the liability issue. If we can expose what's happening in our skies, the liability issues for every single weather event that occurs would be incalculable. Because once you interfere with the system on this scale, You cannot prove that whatever happened and where it happened would have still happened without this interference. We need to expose this issue. So many at this point may ask, how could this be real? How could it be this bad? How could the controllers be this insane? Ask away, and please investigate the facts, but denial on any of these themes won't alter the realities behind them. Again, this reminder, for those listening to this broadcast on live radio, please go to the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org and open the link for this report under the recent or top stories sections, Global Alert News. View the first 20 seconds of this broadcast and you will see film footage proof of former U.S. President Lyndon Johnson ranting like a madman that we had the power to control the world's cloud layer even then. And quote, he who controls the weather controls the world. That's 62 years ago. Question, how much more advanced has this self-destructive insanity become since that time? Is the writing on the wall hard to see or to comprehend? No. Only the epidemic of societal denial makes it so. Back to the U.S. weather, and for that matter, much of the world. Let's summarize. Rapidly escalating weather and temperature whiplash, various forms of frozen material commonly falling at well above freezing temperatures from heavily seeded and increasingly unnatural storm clouds. As we head into the warmer months, that frozen material will be in the form of highly destructive hail, the chemically nucleated kind. And no, it isn't historically normal to have every other thunderstorm dropping, again, baseball-size hail. After the chemically nucleated moisture has passed, the shallow, temporary surface layer of cold air that has been created rapidly transitions back to above normal temperatures and intense UV radiation, thanks to geoengineering's destruction of the ozone layer, which includes the radio frequency transmissions to manipulate the atmospheric particles, also destroying the ozone layer. And then there's that new disturbing phenomenon called thunderstorm asthma, been over that in many broadcasts, which has filled ER rooms on numerous occasions with, at times, thousands of patients. No, nothing to see here. Move along. Don't look up. And about any data presented in this bad news broadcast, please don't believe me. Please investigate for yourself. That's all I've ever asked. But do it soon. The sand in the hourglass is running out fast. And you don't have to believe that either. But you will. Soon. Wait and see. Before I get to the nonlinear earth change headlines, as mentioned at the start of this broadcast, consider this new report from the UK Daily Mail. California is poised for major earthquake this year, says new study tracking San Andreas fault activity. They say California could be months away from having a major magnitude earthquake, which would be one of the biggest seismic events in two decades. Question, isn't it amazing how they always know what's coming? And definitely don't investigate the science behind frequency tectonic weapons of mass destruction. Our kind and benevolent money printing from thin air leaders would never do anything nefarious, would they? All the countries that I made mention of in last week's broadcast, which endured a bad case of the shakes as soon as they were not towing the line for the powers that shouldn't be, that's all just coincidence, right? Again, you decide. Nothing to see here. Or so we're told. Always keep in mind, unfolding and accelerating biosphere collapse is the bottom line factor fueling total desperation on the part of the controllers, and thus our collective futures are in the balance. Let's add this puzzle piece to the equation. Chasing the light. Study finds new clues about warming in the Arctic, and if you think what happens there won't affect you wherever you are, you're wrong. The report says the Arctic Earth's icy crown is experiencing a climate crisis like no other. It's heating up at a furious pace, four times faster than the rest of our planet. Researchers are pulling back the curtain on the reduction of sunlight reflectivity, or albedo, which is supercharging the Arctic's warming. Again, much more on that bad news subject in a moment, the polar meltdown, and it's just as bad at the bottom of the world, Antarctica. And again, climate intervention operations, aka weather warfare, making all of it worse, not better. And let's take a moment to examine albedo. That's the reflectivity of the planet. Much of the SRM foundational premise is based on increasing the planet's albedo. So let's look at Venus. Venus has an albedo about 2.5 times more than that of Earth. How cold is it on Venus? It's almost 1,000 degrees on the surface. Did that albedo help Venus? No, as the oceans, so we're told, boiled off into the atmosphere. All things being equal, Venus would be about 20 degrees warmer than Earth based on its proximity to the sun, but it's 1,000 degrees at the surface. So much for increasing the albedo. So about the non-linear part I covered at the start of this broadcast from cleantechnica.com, Antarctica will teach us a hard lesson about non-linear change. From the report, between 1971 and 2018, the ocean gained 396 zettajoules of heat, equivalent to the energy of more than 25 billion Hiroshima atomic bombs. And of course, we've added much more heat to the ecosystem since 2018, much, much more, because feedback loops have been triggered, by the way, which they don't mention here, and are making plans to add lots more. Drill, baby, drill, right? In the words of Sarah Palin. To raise the temperature of a cubic meter of air by 1 degree C requires about 2,000 joules of energy, but to raise the temperature of a cubic meter of seawater requires about 4,200,000 joules. Been over this in many broadcasts as well to make that comparison that the ocean heat is the bottom line for the planet's temperature. By absorbing all this heat, the ocean lulls people into a false sense of security, not for much longer, that climate change, abrupt climate collapse, is progressing slowly, which it isn't. But there is a huge payback. It's overwhelming when you start to go through all these negative impacts of a warming ocean. The report continues, the oceans have stored the problem, but it's coming back to bite us. Coming back to bite us means an imminent shift from linear changes in the ocean to nonlinear changes on the horizon. Correction to this report, not quote on the horizon, kicking in the front door now. The report continues, the dark waters that used to lie below the ice are being exposed and solar radiation is no longer reflected back into space from the ice. Instead, it's being absorbed by the sea, further heating the oceans there. Essentially, it is a vicious circle of warming oceans and melting sea ice. The ice reflects about 90% of the sun's incoming thermal energy. Once the sea ice in the Arctic is gone, in Antarctica, the dark oceans absorb about 90% of the sun's incoming thermal energy, and there is less ice every year. We are hurtling to what's known as a blue ocean event in both poles. If that happens, game over, and climate engineering and the attempt to hide it is making it worse, not better. And yes, it's just one more feedback loop. Thawing methane hydrate deposits is another, and there are dozens more that we know of, undoubtedly many more that we don't. And of course, there's that never-mentioned off-the-scale UV radiation bombarding the planet from the imploding ozone layer, but let's just pretend that isn't so. Anyway, official sources say everything's fine, right? Just ignore how fast you can get sunburned under the right conditions now. And did I mention UVC radiation, which is now at Earth's surface, is a DNA-damaging spectrum of radiation? No big deal. We just need even more technology in our skies to fix the problem, right? How's that going so far? Anyone that's still trying to convince themselves that governments around the world had no idea all this was taking place, superheating seas, collapsing ozone layer, ubiquitous contamination of the entire biosphere, etc., and that these same governments would never decide to deploy a climate engineering Manhattan Project without public knowledge or consent in a desperate and unthinkably destructive attempt to mask the problem that climate engineering helped to create in the first place, to use weather as a weapon and to try and keep business as usual till the moment of impact? Time to wake up. We have all long since been committed to a planetary experiment without our knowledge or consent, an experiment from which there is no return in any time frame that matters. Can we still salvage some of Earth's remaining life support systems? That remains to be seen, but that effort will take all of us. You're listening to the weekly installment of Global Alert News, the Bad News Broadcast, installment number 453, April 13th, 2024. This is Dane Wigington, your host. Global Alert News is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of climate intervention operations known as geoengineering. The commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour is broadcast on numerous AM and FM stations throughout the country. Recordings of this broadcast can be found on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent column and on the Dane Wigington YouTube channel. Geoengineering Watch wishes to express our deepest gratitude to those that have helped us to expand our reach and thus our voice in this desperate last hour effort to sound the alarm. On that subject, if you're on our email list, please put us on your mail contact book so that our mail outs don't go to the spam file. Please help us to share the groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, which fully exposes the climate engineering atrocities, now with over 10 million views on YouTube. The best way to share is by circulating the direct link to The Dimming by email directly from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Sharing directly helps us to overcome social media censorship. When viewing our YouTube of The Dimming or Global Alert News or any other Geoengineering Watch video on YouTube, please subscribe, share, and comment, all of which helps us to circulate critically important data to a much wider audience. And about reaching those that still aren't looking up, here's one way. By starting the conversation with Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials, which can be found on our homepage. Our only goal to provide activists what they need to move this fight forward, as I stated earlier in this broadcast, are extremely high quality printed materials we pass on for less than our cost of producing and shipping, our only goal to get them into circulation. We have geoengineeringwatch.org hoodies, Geoengineering Watch shirts. Photos of both are on our homepage. We have scannable business cards and bumper stickers, all effective tools to help strike up a conversation on the climate engineering issue. Again, reaching a critical mass of awareness on the climate engineering onslaught is the great imperative of our time. If we can expose it, we can stop it from the inside out as we awaken our military brothers and sisters to what they're participating in, i.e. their own demise. When I started this battle over 20 years ago, I only heard my own voice coming back at me. And now along the way, so many have helped to carry this baton because they know they are fighting for their lives and the lives of their posterity. Cannot fight this battle without an army of the awakened, and that means those who know and understand if we don't win this, all is lost. If you're willing to share a picture of yourself with a Geoengineering Watch t-shirt or hoodie, perhaps at a local mall or somewhere crowded, please send us your photo so that we can post it as part of our activist compilation, which is now part of our materials page. The images encourage others to make their voices heard in this all-important battle to sound the alarm. And to all those that are steadfastly committed to this must-win fight, I want to express my deepest and most profound gratitude. Our collective efforts can absolutely still make a difference, even at this late hour. Pressing on from the UK Independent, March confirmed as hottest ever and 10th straight month to set temperature record. This is a follow-up report being confirmed by other agencies now. Stop and think about that. 10 months in a row, all record-setting. Another puzzle piece from ABC Australia. The world has been its hottest on record for 10 months straight. Scientists can't fully explain why. From that report, the world could be in, quote, uncharted territory. Could be, could, may, might. With the researchers unable to fully explain why the world has been breaking heat records to such extremes for 10 months straight. Last month was the hottest March on record, marking the 10th month in a row to reach that title. The continuation of record-breaking heat comes after 2023 was officially declared the hottest year on record by a long way. Let's put this into context. I think we're at 357 consecutive months now of above normal temperatures. 357 in a row. You think there's a trend here? Climate engineering, in the attempt to mask it, creating toxic surface temporary cool downs with chemical ice nucleation, is making the overall problem far worse, not better. The report continues, quote, if we can't explain what's going on, then that has real consequences for what we can say is going to happen in the future. That's a statement from Dr. Gavin Schmidt from NASA. Remember that name, Matrix Minion to the core, and certainly climate engineering denier. Schmidt continued, there's something missing in what we're thinking about here, he said. Either something has changed in the system and things are responding differently to how they responded in the past, or there are other elements that are happening that we didn't take into account. Really, Gavin? Something is happening that you're not considering, or should I say, willing to admit to, or rather able to admit to without losing your paycheck, pension, or worse? The report then says, in the early 2000s, the trend of rising surface temperatures appeared to plateau over a decade, despite greenhouse gas emissions in the atmosphere reaching record levels. It was something that climate scientists couldn't fully explain at the time, becoming known as the global warming hiatus. However, later studies revealed there was no hiatus in global warming. Rather, it was being buried in the deep layers of the oceans. Where have I heard that before? That's certainly true. But there's much more to the story. Here's two other factors that go unmentioned in this climate engineering cover report. Geoengineering atmospheric aerosols temporarily and toxically lowering surface temperatures, thus skewing the data, at the cost of an even worse overall long-term warming, which is kicking in now. And routine data falsification to make it appear behind the curtain to other countries and governments that are being forced to actively or passively participate in climate engineering that global solar radiation operations were working, when in fact they weren't, and are only continuing to hammer the final nails into our collective coffins. So much more to all of these reports. And always remember and consider this. There is no legitimate discussion of climate anything from any perspective without first and foremost addressing the climate engineering issue. From CBC Canada, Canada at risk of another devastating wildfire season. They're telling you this, okay? They're prepping you to think that, oh, well, they predicted it, so it must be something normal or natural. It's anything but. This is a warning from the Canadian federal government. Officials say forecast of dry, warm weather increases likelihood of fires in coming months. Officials say during a technical briefing on Wednesday that more dry, hot weather is expected this spring and summer, putting much of the country at greater risk. Now, redundant, but please search the engineering wildfire section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. The single biggest precipitation disrupting factor in the planet, period, is climate engineering. Can't rain less on a warming planet, less overall, unless there's a factor we're not being told about. That factor that Gavin Schmidt seems to know nothing about. And that factor is climate engineering. Because the atmosphere holds 7% more moisture for every degree C of warming. Should be raining much, much more overall, but it's not. And I realize there's deluges in places. Again, when you disrupt the rain in one place, it ends up somewhere else. And when you block direct sunlight, you thwart the hydrological cycle. There's different types of seeding that can create different condensation nuclei that can either diminish rainfall or augment it. But the bottom line, no legitimate discussion about weather anything from any perspective without discussing climate engineering first. Also from CBC Canada, new study links drought to rise in overnight wildfire activity. The report then states, a nighttime reprieve for firefighters is usually a given, but bone dry fuels are changing that. Researchers say so much more to that story. So much dishonesty from the so-called science community. We have incendiary particles. Climate engineering elements are incendiary particles. In fact, aluminum nanoparticles are such a powerful incendiary, they are used in thermite, military demolitions. And that's coating the landscape, coating the forest floor, coating forest foliage. We have the same material is toxic to soil microbiome and root systems, which is killing the trees from the bottom up. We have the intense UV radiation killing them from the top down. We have the cutting off the hydrological cycle from climate engineering, drying out the forest. There is so much to this story. In the case of the wildfires, the single greatest factor, period, is climate engineering. Please research the engineering wildfire section at the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. And my statement of that is in no way a denial of the other forms of human decimation to the planet. Again, the incineration of about 260 or 70,000 tons of coal a day, 100 million barrels of carbon fuel a day. We're cutting down the forests, we're poisoning the oceans, we're paving the planet. It's all a problem, all of it. It's not a this or that equation. It's an all the above equation. But again, we have to start with exposing what the power structure is trying so desperately to hide from us and what they're using as their crown jewel weapon, a weapon with which they can bring populations to their knees without those populations ever even knowing they're under assault. Let's bounce back to the bottom of the world, which has grave ramifications for all of us. From the UK Guardian, simply mind-boggling. That's the headline. World record temperature jump in Antarctic raises fears of catastrophe. The report states, an unprecedented leap of 38.5 C in the coldest place on Earth is a harbinger of disaster for humans and local ecosystems. Stop and think about that. That's about 70 degrees above normal. How hot would it be where you live on a midsummer day if it was 70 degrees above normal? This huge temperature hike turned out not to be an isolated event. That's from the report. Levels of sea ice, which float on the oceans around the continent, have plunged dramatically. The Guardian report continues, this startling leap in the coldest place on the planet left polar researchers struggling for words to describe it. Many experts now fear they have dangerously underestimated polar changes. In the past, climate change deniers accused scientists of exaggerating the threat of global warming. However, the evidence that is now emerging from Antarctica and other parts of the world makes it very clear that scientists did not exaggerate. Indeed, they very probably underrated by a considerable degree the threat that now faces humanity. The scientists then say, it's a scary scenario. Nevertheless, that, unfortunately, is what we are now facing. Let's stop there. These are ongoing articles of what's happening that can no longer be hidden. It's exactly what geoengineeringwatch.org has stated on the record for a decade and a half. It's not as bad as we're being told. It's exponentially worse than we are being told. Again, we're back to the nonlinear equation. It is that bad. And I'm fully aware of how many I have alienated by absolutely refusing to downplay or spin the truth, by refusing to interject hopium into data that needs to be heard with no punches pulled. I accept the loss of family and former friends as a consequence. I have no choice in the matter. I will not abandon my post for anyone except my maker. My will is all that I own. Our will is all that any of us truly owns. Moving on. Now let's add this from phys.org. Antarctica's sea ice hit another low this year. Understanding how ocean warming is driving the loss is key. How hard is that to understand when the ocean warms and when you alter atmospheric wind currents, which then alters ocean currents, and you have warm water pumping into the Arctic, water that's heating up rapidly and radically all over the globe, ice will melt. Does it take a science team to figure that out? From MSN.com, strongest ocean current on Earth is speeding up and causing problems. This is a continuation of what I just covered. The Antarctic Circumpolar Current, that's the ACC, is the most powerful current on Earth, encircling Antarctica and influencing the global climate. It's warming and it's melting the glaciers from below. Nothing will stop this at this point. You can't stop this kind of momentum. The planet we've known is gone. It's done. It's not coming back in any time frame that matters. What matters now is, can we salvage something? And that's only if we completely change course, and that effort will take all of us. From MSN.com, report, Antarctica's super vortex is speeding up due to climate change. They say a massive vortex of ocean water encircling Antarctica. This is a continuation of the ACC. A swirling volume 100 times larger than all the world's rivers combined is getting faster due to climate change. And what are they not mentioning? What makes all of these reports completely illegitimate? No mention of climate engineering operations. We truly live in an asylum when something of that magnitude that's so shockingly visible in our skies can be ignored by the so-called experts all over the world. From ScienceAlert.com, simple predictions were wrong. New research shatters old climate change assumptions. They say new mathematical modeling of the Atlantic meridional overturning, that's the AMOC current I've talked about on this broadcast many times, a system of ocean currents, shows greater complexity than previously thought. This is in the same vein of the so-called experts. Gee, there's more to this than we imagined. It's not just some switch that you can tamper with without consequences. Soon to be inundated cities like New York and Miami. That's coming, if other factors don't finish us all off first. Speaking of which, from AP News, Biden administration will lend $1.5 billion to restart Michigan nuclear power plant, a first in the U.S. Holtec International acquired the 800-megawatt Palisades plant in 2022, plans to dismantle it. They did plan to dismantle it, but now they're going to restore it. Doesn't matter that it's outdated and dilapidated. Just fire it up again. We'll have another Fukushima to add to the long list of coming Fukushimas from the damaged atmosphere. The climate engineering has done the most to damage, and now when we have a major coronal mass ejection, or CME, that shuts down grids all over the world, we'll have lots and lots of Fukushimas. Game over. From the UK Guardian, schools close and crops wither as historic heat wave hits Southeast Asia. It's happening all over the world. We see nothing about it on Matrix Media because we're watching the scripted political circus of the insane. Governments across the region are grappling for response as temperatures soar to unseasonable highs. Thousands of schools in the Philippines have stopped in-person classes due to the unbearable heat. In Indonesia, prolonged dry weather has caused the rice prices to soar. When they don't have rice, guess what's coming then? Thailand's water temperatures are so high that scientists fear coral could be destroyed, could, may, might. When the water is that hot, it will die, just like Florida. It's happening all over the world, and we talked about the sea temperatures already earlier in this broadcast. That's the bottom line. Superheating seas. The latest intense weather follows warnings last month by the World Meteorological Association. The level of heat the globe has experienced over the last 12 months, both on land and sea, has surprised science. Didn't surprise us at GeoengineeringWatch.org. Didn't surprise me. I have said this was coming for 15 years. It's far worse than we're being told, and at some point they will have to admit it, and now they're starting to. Next, these so-called scientists need to band together, find their courage, stand up, and tell the truth about climate engineering before it's too late to do anything. In Vietnam, water levels were so low in canals earlier this year that farmers in some areas reportedly struggled to transport their crops. In Malaysia, authorities have deployed cloud seeding in areas affected by lack of rainfall. Think of the whole cloud seeding process again. If you manage to cause rain to fall in one place, and climate engineering certainly does, it didn't get where it was going, at minimum. And in the case of climate engineering, you're affecting the entire global hydrological system. Nothing natural anymore. The effects of the extreme heat also extended into the region's waters. Went over that. El Niño's combined force with global warming risks destroying coral and fish in the Gulf of Thailand. The report then says it's strangely hot, even at night. The temperature was a scorching 31.5 degrees. That's sea, and that's at night. So keep in mind, we have a buildup of greenhouse gases, and yes, that is a problem. And though CO2 is necessary, you can't just alter atmospheric chemistry to this degree. You can't do that and have anything survive. And that is a trigger, that's a fuse to the other feedback mechanisms, of which there are many, and now we have a cascading climate collapse scenario with climate engineering making it far worse, not better. I had about 24 more headlines that I had intended to cover, but I'm all out of time. This is an on-air broadcast. But about those headlines, yes, they're all bad, and they will affect all of us. The planet's life support systems are collapsing on every imaginable front. Again, global climate intervention operations are accelerating all of it. For so many, it's all been impossible to comprehend any reality other than the one that they have known during their lifetimes so far. But not seeing won't change what's coming, indeed what's already unfolding by the day. How many are focused only on blindly waving their flags and clamoring to get their chosen political clown elected as if that has ever or will ever make any difference whatsoever? From Mark Twain, patriot, the person who can holler the loudest without knowing what he's hollering about. And there is this, also from Mr. Twain, which I have recited in this broadcast before, but which needs to be heard again. In the beginning of change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave, and hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And there is this 2,000-year-old wisdom to consider from the Stoic philosopher Epictetus. It is not in our control to have everything turn out exactly as we want, but it is in our control to determine how we respond to what happens. Everything can be taken from us, Epictetus states, but one thing, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. Decisions, not conditions, determine what a man is, end quote. As I have stated many times, each of us must decide what to do with the time we have been given. What decision could bring more solace than to completely dedicate yourself to fighting for everything that matters, for the entire web of life, for every individual and creature that has no voice except for us? We must prioritize, starting with the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat, and that hole is what is taking place in our skies, the greatest and most immediate threat we collectively face short of nuclear cataclysm, a threat from which there is no place to hide. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific instructions on how you can help to move this fight forward. Please, make your voice heard, make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org.
The average child drinks 3 liters of soda per week. Make sure your child's not average. For info on keeping your kids healthy, visit intermountainlive.org. Intermountain Healthcare, healing for life.
Excuse me.
It's the Ralph Nader Radio Hour.
Stand up, you've been sitting way too long.
Welcome to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. My name is Steve Scrovan, along with my co-host Hannah Feldman. David is a little under the weather today, but we've got Hannah. Hello, Hannah.